sound can only mean one thing, and that is, well, it's time to remind you that if you like this show, you might support it by going to patreon.com/frogpants. Very little bits a month will go a long way. That's patreon.com/frogpants. And thanks. It is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for September 11th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's do it. Hear that? It's a pen. All right, I'll stop doing that now. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is a fresh new Boop Show right off the out of the cooker there, right out of the oven. And you might be saying to yourself, self, how come Scott, when he started the show, it was always 2 days a week, and now it's just like showing up once a week now? Well, let me tell you. Two reasons. The late summer, early fall doldrums of video game news. That not to say there aren't things to play and talk about. There are, surely. But this is definitely not the time for a ton of news going on. Secondly, I just got to get this book out. And then I should be able to get back to the two a week. I'd really like to. Hey, but look, who's complaining? Here I am. Check it out. Metal Gear Solid 5 still continues to be a thing I am playing pretty consistently with what time I've had. There's been less time than I'd like. I'm not nearly as far into that game as I would like to be. I'm probably, I don't know how much progress. I know it says percentage. I'm probably 7 or 8% or something. It's very small, but I'm having a real good time. I think what I love about it is just that I can approach everything like any way I want to and often succeed. Most games break when you do that. This game does not seem to break when you do weird stuff to get a mission done. It's fantastic. I really like it so far and having loads of fun. It put me down a rabbit hole though the other day. I went and looked at a bunch of old YouTube videos of Snake from Metal Gear Solid 1 on the PlayStation 1 in 1998. Snake sneaking into the prison and talking to the DARPA chief, and just how far we've come graphically since the PlayStation 1. It's shocking. Oh, there goes my phone. Did you hear that? Great. That's what you want. Anyway, I watched a bunch of that, and then I watched some Sons of Liberty from MGS2, and then looked at the new one, and then looked at comparisons of all three, and it's kind of shocking how far we've come in that much time. Graphically, it's easy to feel like it was slower than that, but it's pretty impressive. Anyway, having a really good time. Still playing Heroes a ton. Get your Rexar out this week. He's good fun. He's got his bear there. Still don't think I'm ready to buy him, though. I've played with him in the test match stuff, but that's it. I've decided to not impulse buy every hero that comes out anymore. Because what I end up doing is I'll buy somebody and then kind of like him okay, but then I am inspired to go try something with one of the characters I already own, and then I don't come back to him for a long time. I did that with the monk. Played him a bunch at first, and then went away for a while. And now I'm back to him, and I really like him. So I've decided to play what I'm really liking first, and then, you know, if I want to eat a little Rexar, I'll do that later. Let's put him on sale first. How about that? Doesn't change how I feel about that game, but for whatever reason, I just didn't feel like jumping at this one. I think the next one we get will end up being that medic, the StarCraft medic, and that one I may have to just leap at because it just looks too cool to not buy immediately. Anyway, that's happening. What else? Oh, hey, guess what I'm playing? It's super dumb, and I don't know why I'm doing it, and I kind of am opposed to these on a fundamental level, but yet here I am. In fact, let's log in now. I can't stop playing. There it is. Dungeon Boss. Let's get a little volume on this thing so you can hear it. Oh, it has to load. Download some updates. It is a very, very free-to-play game. What I mean by that is, you know, energy based. You got to buy currencies. You don't have to, but you can. It's a, you know, free to play thing, right? And it's all the stuff I hate. It's like, ah, oh, there's like 8 different currencies, and there's the time system thing. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, here we are. What's today's thing? Barbarian Bonanza. Balrog, the shouting barbarian, invades, silencing all who would challenge him. I will not go to that event right now. Let's get my reward for the day. Oh, I've got something called a nitpick ready to summon him. Oh, it's a character reward, so that's cool. I can get a new character. My quests are all looking good. Let's go to the portal. Bring in my daily portal here. Okay. All right. Here he comes. All right. And we've got a bucket of nothing. Great. Anyway, that's my dailies. That's how you just go in and check and see what's up. There are quests. There are rewards. I have a dungeon I have to defend, so I can go in there and get a little gold from when I've been gone. Let's do that now. What do we got here? Let's collect some money. Yeah, we're all very happy about the gold. Yeah, it's insidious, and I can't believe I like it. But I guess, you know, it's not beyond the pale for a developer to figure this crap out and not just make garbage one game after another on mobile that's just, you know, free-to-play nightmares. And usually I can tell in the first maybe 20 minutes of a game like this whether I'm in or I'm out. I guess I should tell you what it's kind of like. So it's like turn-based RPG dungeon crawling. Those are all things I like in general. Level-based, item-based, upgrades, abilities, ascending your hero, random loot, gear, blah, blah, blah. All the things I like. They've just done it in a package that just really works and clicks and feels good. And even the energy system isn't very bothersome. By the time I'm out of energy, that's about how long I wanted to be in there. So it just feels good to me. Checking it daily to get extra rewards, that's just, I don't know, that's lots of games do that. But for whatever reason, they seem to just have they've polished a turd. So I guess hats off to those guys for pulling that off. I'm a little shocked. Because I hate these normally. But this one's all right. Dungeon Boss on iOS and Android now. Not Windows Phone, I don't think. Diving headlong into the news stories today begins with Destiny 2.0. My son is currently on a mission in the other room. I meant to do this earlier and just forgot yesterday. And I think I may not have enough disk space. So we're going to have to probably talk before he finishes in there. But he is downloading for me because I sent him on an errand. He's downloading Destiny again because I deleted it from my PlayStation 4 hardware because I wasn't playing it and I don't like it or I haven't liked it. And all the Destiny proponents out there are saying, Scott, you big dummy, you need to play that game again. Because all these changes across the board, and they're all great, and it's wonderful, and you should be in this. And so I'm saying to you, okay, I'll try it, all right? I'll try it. I'll download it and give it a shot. And they said this, ever since 2.0 went live, this is Bungie, we've been monitoring the progress of the millions of Guardians who are downloading it. They were expecting a big download update, and we got one, I guess. Anyway, big changes to all of the game, mandatory for all players. It's not an optional thing. And my understanding is light, you know, the at the end there where you're trying to improve your light, it's now like a gear score in World of Warcraft. Who'd have freaking thunk that? I guess Activision's there and Blizzard's there, and maybe they shared ideas at lunch one day, but yeah, you basically have a gear score now. Nintendo sells 7 million Amiibo toys in the U.S. alone. That's quite a lot of Amiibo toys. That seems like a lot anyway. The MPD Group released their August sales report, and part of that were these toys. These are the Toys to Life category of toys. Skylanders being a good example. Disney Infinity being the other. And wow, I guess these are starting to become a bit of a phenomenon. Worldwide, they've sold 14.7 million Amiibo toys. That is as of the end of June 15th, or by the end of June 15th, 2015. That's just this year. Here's a good comparison for you. So we're talking about Skylanders. Activision sold, looks like, 250 million Skylander toys worldwide. That was since the launch of the franchise 4 years ago. So in all, the Skylander series has been very lucrative for those guys. $3 billion. I still say, because Activision Blizzard is the same company now, pretty much, they need to make little Skylander, little WoW people. I'm telling you, little WoW characters, little StarCrafty, little Diablo peoples. Gary's Mod has a sequel in the works. Check this out. It's not quite what you think either. So this is 10 years after. I just want you guys to wrap your head around this. 10 years ago, Garry's Mod debuted. 10 years ago. And now we're talking about a sequel. At least Gary Numan is. And his new company, Face Punch Studios. It's like $10. It's hugely popular. Everyone loves Garry's Mod. You're basically just, it's a goof around sandbox with tons of different kind of gameplay mods added to it. It's pretty insane. Highly supported by Valve. You got to give them credit for getting behind that project and helping and all that. So when somebody asked him in this interview for PC Games N, is the name of the publication, about whether raising the price would mean, you know, would that make sense this late in the game? And he says, no, because, I mean, we're kind of working on a sequel, so it would be stupid to raise the price, unquote. He continue on to announce that they're in the very early days, but they want this to be very VR. In fact, quote, that's the big point of it. So I want you to sit back for a minute and think about the HTC Vive, the Valve VR headset, and you in Garry's Mod world, assembling structures and items and things in virtual space. Ooh. He also said it will not be called Garry's Mod 2 because it was just a mod in the first days. That's why the name stuck. It's named after him. That's probably not what they'll do here. Anyway, if you don't know what Garry's Mod is, you should probably go get it. It's like $10 or less and is on sale all the time. So the idea of being able to manipulate that world and those assets in virtual space in some kind of, I don't know how you're going to do it. There's so many items and so much stuff. So I'm assuming the sequel is going to have to address all that. But if that is, that could be a real showpiece for Valve VR. Sounds like they're nowhere near release, so you may not get it right away. But wouldn't that be a great pack-in? Some big sandboxy playground for a VR headset? It makes perfect, absolutely perfect sense to me. Rocket League receives a substantial patch. Sounds like a good Boy Scout, right? Got a nice patch. 1.05. And the features are pretty big. One of them is you can now filter out PlayStation 4 players by doing, well, on the PC side, you can filter out people on the console. I don't know why you'd do that. It seems like you'd want, I don't know, there's very, you know, competitive players on both. I don't think most players on PC are using controllers, so it's not like there's an advantage there to keyboard and mouse, because that's kind of a disadvantage. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you'd want that, but I guess people can do that now. Big interface changes, including persistent nameplates. I guess a music player interface is on all the menus, so you don't have to listen to that horrible techno singing thing at the beginning anymore. There's some changes to the spectator mode. There's a full list of the stuff on PCGamer.com if you guys want to go check that out. And, you know, see if it's worth your time to keep playing. I mean, that game is amazing. More on that later. I got more to say about that, so stay tuned. Fallout 4 will have not the dog voice actor of Fallout 3. So Fallout 3 had this guy that did the dog, right? It's not barely even news. But anyway, in Bethesda's new game, Fallout 4, it will not feature Eric Todd's voice work. Eric Todd Dellums is his full name. And, you know what it is? Oh, I screwed this story up. I thought that there was a guy doing the voice of the dog, like the companion. But I don't think you had one of those in 3. They're talking about 3 Dog, the Fallout 3 Galaxy News DJ dude. Okay, never mind. He's not doing it this time. That's the point. And why would he? It's set in a whole different part of the country. All right? So it's fine. Is it that big a deal? How much? You know what? I'm curious about that. Send your emails in about this. When you find out that, who played Snake? Ah, crap. Forgot his name already. Metal Gear. That guy. When you find out he's no longer involved and now it's Kiefer Sutherland, what does that do to you? Does that lessen the experience? Do you care at all? Like when they took Michael Ironsides out of the Splinter Cell game in that last one, which was the one, I think, the best game, by the way, but it wasn't his voice. I didn't have a problem with it. I think the new guy did really good. In fact, I preferred it. So I'm curious, what does that do to your like or dislike of the game? Maybe it does nothing. I don't know. It's interesting though. You know what else is interesting? Dragon's Dogma sold 1 million downloads, specifically Dragon's Dogma Online. And that is in 10 days or less. It's a Capcom joint, free-to-play role-playing game for PlayStation 4, 3, and PC. No Xbox release that we know of. It reached 1 million downloads in 10 days following a launch in Japan at the end of August. And Capcom, I guess, is stoked. 370,000 characters since September 9th. You can also get a 3-day adventure pass. This lets you go try it out and see if you like it for like 72 hours. And if you do, then you can get on there and stay in. That's quite a bit for a, I don't know. I just didn't think Japan would jump on that. But I guess Dragon's Dogma series is popular. People like it over there. I never played the standalone thing that shipped here. So I can't speak to it, but I guess I like the idea of Capcom doing something different. That is to say, more regular. Microsoft shutting down Xbox Live indie games. Oh, really? Seemed like a pretty cool thing they had going there. But they are no longer, according to GamePro, taking new subscriptions or memberships for the Xbox Live indie games or the XBLIG program. And they're calling it a sunsetting process. That means they're phasing the damn thing out. So, you're out. No longer can do it. They don't want to do it anymore. I don't know what the problem was. Probably not a lot of people were doing it. I feel like they didn't showcase it very well. It's not like Microsoft was any good at like making sure people knew what was happening and coming out on there and actively promoting it all the time. It felt like they were... Oh, that's a lovely sound. Let's just turn that off. Someone added me to Game Center. Anyway... You know what? That's actually kind of a prudent sound to have happen, because check this out. A new $150 Apple TV got revealed. This has a touch/motion-enabled controller. We saw them on stage using it a bit like, well, in film anyway, using it a bit like a Wiimote and also like a phone. It's a, you know, touch-sensitive pad thing. Activision, in an update, has confirmed that a few titles are coming there that are kind of a big deal. Skylander Superchargers, that's huge with the kids, you know, the kiddos. Guitar Hero Live, Geometry Wars 3's Geometry Wars 3, Dimensions Evolved. Man, can't talk today. And, they're making a play here for the indie game living room business. And I think they kind of have a shot at it. I hate to say it. I mean, I know Amazon gave it their best with their thing, and you could buy games for that, but that turned out to be kind of a bust. I really like what NVIDIA is doing with the Shield, because not only can I play indie games, downloadable to Android stuff and that sort of thing, but also it allows me, I have one of these, it allows me to stream PC games from my PC to my TV, which is also really cool and works like a charm. So while this lacks some of those features, I think Apple... If Apple knows one thing, it's how to dominate an app store scene. And if you're telling me I could buy a universal app on a phone that translates well to both tablet and TV and I bought it once, I mean, that's a pretty compelling argument to make. And then, of course, all the other TV stuff, you know, Netflix, Hulu, freaking HBO, you know, iTunes, Vudu, whatever, whoever's on there. All that stuff will be there. Your typical sort of Roku lineup. And integrated Siri, we'll see if that's any good or not. That seemed kind of cool what they were showing as compared to some of the other voice-activated TV stuff. So anyway, it's an interesting play. I don't know. Seems like if Apple were to ever get into games and actually have a chance at doing anything, it would be in this way. Not trying to go for high-end console business, but to just sort of extend the casual gaming market, which you just cannot deny is huge, and do it in a way much larger or in a much bigger way than anyone else has previously. So we'll see. I have my hang-ups about this, but I actually kind of think they have a good chance. Street Fighter V's latest newcomer is Rashid. Rashid is the brand new character. Street Fighter V guy. He's a ex-fighter man from Dubai or something. Something like that. I hate to say this. There's these little stereotypes. I'm just going to put it out there. I mean, not, you know, not the Street Fighters ever really shied away from stereotype characters, but yeah, you'll know what I mean when you see him. It's fine. It isn't the worst thing you're going to look at today, but I'm just warning you, it's a little weird, okay? It's just a little weird. Shovel Knight, finally in the news again. Plague of Shadows is an expansion for Shovel Knight, the very 8-bit looking thing that took the world by storm and everyone loved, and now has its own amiibo character, which is crazy. They're putting out Plague of Shadows. This will be a free expansion for anyone who already owns it. Will launch on the 17th of September. That's what, early next week? Is that next Tuesday? I think so. Yacht Club Games announced it on the site. That's how we know about this. And anyway, you can get it if you already own it. So this is for Linux, Mac, Nintendo 3DS, PlayStation 3, PS4, PlayStation Vita, Wii U, Windows PC, and Xbox One. Man, they're on everything. That game's great. So if you already have it, then you're dumb if you don't pick this up. And if you don't have it, I think it's absolutely worth playing that game. I thought it was fantastic. All right, let's take a dip into the emails and the calls. Today it's all calls because I got a bunch to get through and I want to make sure we get to them. Well, three today, but there's enough backed up that I don't want to clog us full of emails when we have calls to play. So let's start with this one. This guy's got a lot of questions. Well, one in particular. Let's see what it is.
Hey, Scott. Jake Bowles calling from Kansas. How many times are you willing to buy your games? I'm a fan of some remasters, but not of others. I bought Rogue Legacy on the PC and on the Vita, and I'd totally buy Crypt of the Necrodancer on Vita. But with a new Deadpool remaster coming, and after the first game had a mediocre reception, or even with the well-received Halo, Gears of War, and Tomb Raider, and Last of Us remakes, do we need more original games, or will we all keep buying the same games for newer consoles?
Boop. Really good question. I didn't know Crypt of the Necrodancer was coming to the Vita. I will absolutely buy that. Oh, man. That's so perfect for that handheld. But yeah, that'll be me buying it twice, right? It is unfortunate that there is not a way. I mean, it is one of those advantages, and I know it's in a different kind of marketplace, but what Apple does and what Android does, and what cell phones do with game sharing across multiple homogenous devices is kind of spoiling. You do that and you're like, oh, this is great. I want to do this everywhere. I want this with all my stuff. I want this game I just bought on my PC, and I want the PlayStation 4 version, and I want to sync those saves and everything. Like, you start to see what a future could look like across platforms and devices with various games. Sadly, that isn't the case today, at least not yet. I don't know. If the game was really good and you loved it and there's enough new there, like I really liked God of War 3, but they didn't do enough to that remastered edition for me to get excited about it. If they would have added some things or, I don't know, gone further than just up the res on it, it's already a pretty game. Kind of hard to tell the difference. Maybe I would have been in, but yeah. I mean, I want Journey again. I know that's up there. I can get it now, I guess, because I love Journey and I think that game's probably worth it. And it's also, you know, lower price to entry. I don't know. It just depends. It does bother me that we are being asked to do that. I think Microsoft's done a really good thing with this backwards compatibility, which I've really come around on in regards to downloadables, because a lot of those games are part of that compatibility now, and you don't have to figure out how to get a new version of Geometry Wars 2. It's just there to play. Or 1. Is 2 even ready yet? I don't know. I know 1 is playable. But anyway, hopefully these platform controllers, meaning Sony, Microsoft, Steam, everybody else. I mean, the PC, the great thing about that is you kind of have an endless possibility there. There's always a way to make an old game work still and even upgrade it. I mean, it's such a weird environment compared to these closed systems. So I guess PCs are where it's at, but it's a great question. When is too many? I don't know. I guess here's my advice. Don't buy anything you don't want to pay for twice. And if you do, we'll have a good reason. And I think that's good enough. As long as there are people out there doing that, they'll keep making them. But I don't feel like I'm being shafted or anything necessarily. I had the game in the first place on the platform it debuted on. I had a really good time with it. If I want it again, then is it worth the money or not? It's as simple as that for me.
Hey, this is for the Boop Show. This is Phil in Nashville, a.k.a. Boshock. And I just wanted to know if you have given any thought to the possibility of a Rocket League tournament. I feel like you could call it the Rocket Pants Championship or something like that. Thanks.
All right. So in the light of the successful, fun, good times we had with the Heroes of the Pants tournament, absolutely. It is the next thing we'll do. I've been talking to people who are going to help me run it in sort of preliminary ways. Nothing set in stone yet. I got to get this book out first. But yeah, Rocket League tournament. Abso-freaking-lutely. There is zero doubt in my mind that this will happen and that I will be on a team because I love that game and I want to play more of it and I want to do it competitively and have prizes and stuff. So yes. So the answer is yes. Just stay tuned as to when and what and how.
Scott, this is just in response to the Halo 5 Guardians not having split-screen co-op, and I know that lots of people have two systems, but just saying my piece on that, my family, we all play four-player split-screen co-op. It was something we've done together for years, my kids, my wife. That's a big letdown. I didn't even check the specs on it because I just thought that that was kind of the Halo tradition. I get that they're cutting back, but we're going to cancel our pre-order because that's a family game for us, just like getting Diablo on the console. There'd be no point if it wasn't co-op. So that's all I have to say. Love the show. Boop.
Oof. Shots fired, man. Not the first person I heard this from. People not stoked about Halo 5 taking that. I mean, they're, you know, people like to find things to get upset about, but I think this is a genuine concern for a lot of people. I may have never played it that way, but if that is how, that is your legacy with Halo, and they've taken out your favorite or one of your more interested in features, that must suck. And I wonder how much blowback they're really getting. I wondered if maybe we get news that, like, you know, Microsoft's decided to put it back in. We know our players love couch co-op and we want to include it. But I think at this stage, if they tried to do that, we're looking at a very long delay. So I don't think it's going to happen. But man, I wonder how many people are like you. How about you guys listening? Any of you guys cancel because of that stuff, that business? Very curious. All right, you can call this show, leave messages at 801-471-0462, or you can leave us a voicemail and or email, like a little voice attachment if you want, or however you want to do it, to boopshow@gmail.com. We'll do more of those next week, or whenever there's the next show. Maybe it'll be Monday, I don't know. It's 801-471-0462 and boopshow@gmail.com, frogpants.com/boop. Go there for all your needs. Everything's linked there, including our Twitter address, @boopshow. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. Music by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. Support the show today by going to frogpants.com/store, or better yet, patreon.com/frogpants. Whatever you can do, man. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. Be doing an AMA there soon. I'm sure there'll be some video game talk in there, so that'll be good. I'm going to take us out today with some music that I absolutely love and is not available to me anywhere via retail, so I took it out of my game library and made it work. I hope I'm doing this legally. I'm not entirely sure, but I absolutely love during the Eternal Conflict stuff with the Diablo-themed Heroes Diablo theme. They had special music for that, and it's like 5 minutes of some of my favorite Blizzard music. They just it's kind of mashed up Diablo 3, 2, and the Nexus music, like all of that stuff kind of together. And I just love it. I just, one of my favorite things ever. And now that that's gone, I'm a little sad because now we're on to just normal stuff again, but it's pretty good. I thought we'd play it here now just to sort of remember the fantastic Heroes event that was the Eternal Conflict. Yeah, I guess that's it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take Snake out, whatever Snake he is now. Dirty Snake, Venom Snake, Naked Snake. What is he? Big Boss. Take Big Boss out. Shoot some dudes. Balloon some sheep and have a half-naked lady go identify all your guys for you. Okay? All right, we'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.